That's when I became more curious about the questions of life and meaning and purpose and what I was going to do with the rest of my years on this planet. And I started reading the Bhagavad Gita at that time. And yeah, that sparked the whole spiritual interest. And then I went to university. And then after I graduated, I decided to go to India when I was 21 for a spiritual journey, some exploration. So when I was 21, I went to India, and India was amazing. I went, met many, amazing people, stayed in ashrams, went to holy places, and experienced, I guess, the beauty of simplicity, how simple life could be. Having grown up in London, in a complicated city, just experiencing simple spirituality, and it was beautiful. And so when I came back, I decided to kind of continue my exploration by living as a monk for a year. And I think many of you are familiar, we have a temple in London which was donated by the Beatles, and it's a beautiful monastery. So I decided to stay there, and 1 year became 2, which became 5, which became 10, which has become 20 now. So I never made it back home. So yeah, I guess that's a little bit of my journey of Krishna consciousness.
What did you study?
I wanted to actually, when I went to university, because that's where my spiritual interest was growing, I wanted to actually study philosophy and theology. But my dad convinced me to do something which would get me a proper job. So I ended up studying computer science and management, and then I became a monk anyway.
right.
So yeah, I studied computer science and management. Yeah, I studied at UCL, some of you may know, University College London. So so it was, university was like the time of change, I think, for me.
Was there like a presence of devotees at your university?
Yeah, there were many. We had like a Krishna consciousness kind of club society in the university. So we were, every week there was something going on, and we have a temple in center of London as well. So I was living 5 minutes from there.
Soho?
Soho, yeah. So I was like out on a night out with my friends, and then the early morning service at Soho Temple at 4 a.m. in the morning. And it was like the juxtaposing
really?
Two lives, you know. Yeah. And it was kind of interesting because you saw both lives and both approaches to life. And it was almost like it gave a very deep sense of where fulfillment really was, you know. So it was an interesting time. So I guess in Krishna consciousness, there's so many areas we could talk about. There's like the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, like who we are, who God is, the world, life. So I guess if you have any questions on that, we can talk about that. I guess there's also the practical side of Krishna consciousness, like how do you actually do it? How do you find God? How do you awaken this divine consciousness? So we can talk about that. We can also talk about culture. How do we live in this world? What's our response to kind of contemporary issues, and how do we carry ourselves as spiritualists in a world which maybe isn't always so spiritual? We could talk about science and spirituality if you have questions about that. We can even talk about conspiracy theories. and anything you may want to know about. So yeah, I think today was just like an open forum for that kind of thing. So yeah, I mean, kind of hand it over to all of you and see whether you may have anything you want to talk about or ask or clarify or explore.
Maybe can you, if someone has, I know you have questions, Andreas.
I also have a question. I've been saving up this question.
Okay. Okay, I can ask mine later.
Really? No, but you want to go first then?
No, you seem eager.
Well, I am quite eager, because this has been some sort of... something which I've been carrying with me for a number of years, and I didn't really go deeply into the research of this, but it just struck me that it's prophesized that you know, you have the cycle of yugas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a saying that another name of Krishna is Tri Yugi Narayan. So it comes in the cycle of the four yugas, he comes in three yugas, and then in the fourth yuga, it's not he comes for the destruction part, I guess, as Kalki. But in every thousand yuga, every Divya yuga, then it's special. Then this sort of, although he comes in the three incarnations, he comes also as an extra, where he comes himself. And then in Dwapar Yuga, he comes as Krishna, and then in Kali Yuga, he comes as Lord Chaitanya. And apparently we're in this Divya Yuga now. So that's a great, good fortune. And then I was wondering, because Kali Yuga, if you read the Bhagavatam, especially the 12th canto, it's very, the description of the gradual degradation, it struck me. So it was just one, and then I was looking at my time, and then I was seeing that if you look at culture, I just want to explain my question, because I've been carrying this. You see, so if you look at sort of, if Dwapar Yuga ended 5,000 years ago, if you look back into human history 5,000 years, you will see these civilizations popping up, and they're coming and then they're going, like Sumeria, Mesopotamia, you know, and then it's Egypt, it's the Mediterranean, it's the Roman Empire, and if you see, and then I was looking at it, and you see this, there's sort of like a, from 5,000 years going on to sort of around the 15th century, it's steadily going down. You in the 14th, 15th century, you have what they call the Dark Ages. It's not very uplifting. People are short-lived. There's disease and everything. Right. And then in the 15th century, something happens. Lord Chaitanya appears, right, in India. But suddenly in Europe, there's the Renaissance. Things and the basis of it is that they go back to ancient knowledge and rediscover it, which had been lost during the time of the Dark Ages. So then I'm wondering, we see this resurgence of knowledge in the 14th, 15th century, which culminates sort of with the Age of Enlightenment, which is our sort of what we're living on now. And then I'm wondering that, because when you see the degradation of the Dark Ages, I have this kind of, I'm wondering that sort of shows what it could have been and where it's going, short in, with the short lives, and then suddenly there's this bloom, and I'm wondering, is this a coincidence, or is there's like this emergence of something higher, and we now have technology, we have, you know, people are, they live long, we focus on. And I'm wondering, is this a coincidence, or was this... Mm. What do you think? You have some reflections on this? Because it really struck me deep. Because there's this real change, right, in the 15th century. Mm.
Just to know, is everyone here kind of familiar with some of these terminologies, like yugas, avatars, the history? I don't need to kind of... Do I need to? Is everyone okay with that? Okay. I'll just contextualize it, mm-hmm. just so everyone. So the idea is that the universe, in the Vedic scheme or idea, time is not linear, but time is cyclical. So often what you find in Judeo-Christian traditions is that there's a beginning and there's an end. And it runs in a linear scale. But in the Vedic teachings, the Eastern teachings, the idea is that time is cyclical. Like in a year, you have seasons. So in the cosmic cycle, you have four cosmic seasons, or what we call yugas or ages. And the current age that we're in is considered the dark age, the most degraded age, the most troubled time. And the idea is that God descends in all four of those seasons, cosmic ages, to bring about spiritual resurgence. And therefore, when God descends from the world, it's known as an avatar. You've heard the Sanskrit word. Ava means to come, and tar means tarine, which means down. So literally, avatar means to come down. So when God comes down to this world, it's an avatar. In English, we say incarnation. And so so Yudhisthira is just asking about, I guess, the Kali Yuga that we're in now. And according to the calculations, the Kali Yuga, or the current cosmic age, began 5,000 years ago, approximately. Krishna was here 5,000 years ago in the world, and it said that the day Krishna left the world was the day that Kali Yuga began. And so I guess what Yudhisthira is saying is that there's been a steady decline in the last 5,000 years up until about 500 years ago. And 500 years ago was the time when Krishna came to this world again as Chaitanya.
He's on the altar.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. Chaitanya, and kind of gave the idea of how to achieve spiritual elevation in this age, which is through the chanting of the holy name. So I think you're definitely right, Yudhisthira. There is a sense in which you see, Chaitanya, he revolutionized the world in four ways, it said.
Mm-hmm.
He revolutionized the world socially. Because what he did is he brought an end to kind of discrimination or kind of judgmentalism based on externals. He was like uplifting those who were downtrodden in society. And so socially, he established in the world the equality of all living beings beyond material designation. It said he transformed the world politically, because what he